This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
Some time back, I read this statement that was found in Time magazine, and the author of the article was quoting are citing what was on the cover of what was then a recent issue of Time magazine. And it was this question: is truth dead? I don't know how you would answer that question. Is truth dead? Whatever happened to truth? But that's what we want to talk about today. Whatever happened to truth? Can we know truth? What is true? Do you have your truth and I have my truth? Can everyone have their own truth? Let's talk about that today. I'm Billy Lambert. I'm the speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible. And we are delighted to have you watching today, especially if this is your first time to see the telecast. If you watch all the time, we will appreciate your loyalty to seeing the program every time we're on the air. Now today, we're offering a free Bible correspondence course, and I emphasize the course is free. We want you to have it in order that you might know more about the course and how you can receive the course. We'll pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
There is a great divide in America. The divide that we're talking about crosses every phase and every facet of our lives. This divide is in the political world. This divide is seen in the educational world. As a matter of fact, I'm not certain but what the seeds that resulted in this recent division in America were hatched in the educational world. This division is also seen in the racial world, in the social world. It's evidenced even in the economic world. And we see that this division also crosses over into the religious world today. And this division or divide that I'm talking about right now comes as a response to the question that was posed to Jesus as he stood before Pilate in John the 18th chapter. Jesus said in verse 37, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." Now here's the question, and Pilate is the one who asked this question in verse 38. What is truth? I believe the way that we answer that question has such far-reaching ramifications that it's caused division in this country. Actually, this division not only is prevalent in our nation, that is in America, but it has spread throughout the entirety of the world. What is truth? How would you answer that question? Is truth dead? Whatever happened to truth? There are at least two views, basic views of truth, and there are then subheadings under some of these different views. But basically, there are those who see truth as relative. They say you cannot really know what truth is. You can't be sure about anything. And one man asked the person who made that statement, "You can't be sure about anything, are you sure about that?" See, if you are sure that you cannot know anything for certain, then there's one absolute certainty, and the one absolute certainty is that you can't be sure about anything. You say, that's ridiculous. Well, can we be sure about anything? Is there anything that's absolute? We deal with absolutes in mathematics. At least in my school days we did. 2 + 2 = 4. Regardless of your language, regardless of the nation in which you live, regardless of your politics, regardless of your religious affiliation, 2 + 2 = 4. That's absolute. See, we deal with absolutes when we deal with money. I would not be wanting to deal with a person who would tell me that 2 + 2 = 3. Because if I owed them, they owed me money, and they counted money like that, then I'd come out on the short end, wouldn't I? See, we deal with mathematics and every day, and it is absolute. Absolute. 2 + 2 = 4. 4 + 4 = 8. 8 + 8 = 16. Anywhere, any time of the day. The late Dr. Thomas Warren, who was a real Bible scholar, was in a discussion with a man who took the idea that truth is relative. And the man said, "You can't be certain about anything." And Dr. Warren asked him, "Are you certain about that?" Well, this idea of the relativity of moral and spiritual values has led to some serious consequences. It has led to a loose, very loose moral code in our world. If there is no such thing as truth, if there's no such thing as an absolute moral standard, then you can live any way you want to. Some say that you have your truth and I have my truth, and what's true to me may not be true to you. Is that the way we deal with things in life? And is that what truth is all about? I do not think so. But we live in a day of confused moral and spiritual values. Suppose someone were to challenge you to find the verse in the Bible that describes modern society. What would you go to? I think if I were to find the verse that I believe really describes us, I would turn to the book of Isaiah, the 5th chapter, and verse number 20. "And there were those," he said, "that will put evil for good and good for evil. There are those that will put darkness for light and light for darkness. There are those that will be put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." That is, they just completely reverse things. And so I don't know the answer that you would give to the question asked on the front page of Time magazine, "Is truth dead?" But in so many ways, people have rejected truth. And it's not new for people to reject truth. They've been doing that for a long, long time. They rejected truth in Rome. In Romans, the 1st chapter and verse 18, Paul said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." And when it says they hold the truth, it means they suppress the truth. They reject the truth. God's wrath is revealed against people who say there is no such thing as absolute truth. Someone says, "Well, that's offensive." Well, it may be offensive to those who do not believe in absolute truth. But what I'm trying to do is tell you the truth, that God wants us to not reject His truth, but to believe His truth. It leads, when we reject truth, it leads to confusion. It leads to chaos. It leads to anarchy. It leads to an agnosticism, skepticism, pluralism, postmodernism. Someone says, you don't really believe, preacher, that truth is absolute, do you? If you believe that truth is relative, you might think that 2 + 2 = 5. Suppose you're in your automobile. You're driving down the highway. You haven't driven this car now for a long time. And you know, said, I've just been driving around town rather slow. And this, what this car needs, and this sounds like a teenager to me doing this, this car really needs to be blown out. We just need to blow it out. So you get out on the highway, and the speed limit is 70. But then you get it up to around 80, then 90, then 100, and you're doing 120 going down the highway, and you pass a sign that says speed limit 70, and you get pulled over by highway patrol. And he says, do you realize how fast you were going? He said, yes, sir, I know how fast I was going. I was doing 120. Well, don't you know the speed limit is 70? You're not allowed to go over 70 miles an hour. You say, well, that's just relative. You see, that's just the way you see it. I see it a different way. I see it differently. All I can say is, ha, ha. Because what's going to happen if you see that the speed limit is just a relative number and not an absolute number or not an absolute speed that you're to drive, he's going to give you a ticket and you're going to pay a terrific fine for going over the speed limit to such an extent. You see, we get in the highway, get behind the wheel of our car, truth is not relative, it is absolute. And truth is absolute in every area of life. You think about when you go down to the drugstore to get a prescription. Your doctor has written out a prescription. He has prescribed a certain medication he wants you to take. Now, what would you think about a pharmacist who said, well, I know that's what the doctor said, but I don't see it exactly the way your doctor sees it, so I'm going to give you something else. Would you say, well, that's okay because everything's relative anyway. There's no such thing as an absolute medication for the doctor to give me. That's just not absolute. That's just his idea about it. Would you take the medication the pharmacist gave you rather than the one that had been prescribed by your physician? I wouldn't. Why? Because what he said is what he wants me to have. I want the physician, the pharmacist rather, to operate on the principle of absolute truth when it comes to filling my prescription. Suppose you get an airplane and the pilot comes out over the loudspeaker and he says, well, I'm your pilot and this is the first time I've ever been in an airplane. Actually, the first time I've ever tried to fly an airplane. And you say, well, that's just the way he says it. Well, the way I see it is a different way. No, I want a man that's qualified. I want to know a man that knows how, or a woman that knows how to use the instruments in that plane, knows how to keep the nose up on the plane, knows how to fly the plane and to land the plane safely. I want them to operate on the principle of absolute truth. You go into a court of law and you're asked to put your hand on a Bible and promise that you'll tell the truth. You say, well, you know, Judge, I'll tell some of the truth. I'll just tell the truth the way I see it. I have my truth and you may have your truth here in the courtroom. And so I'll just tell what I feel and what I think about all of this. The judge will say you're disqualified because you're to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Truth has to be absolute when you go into a court of law. You think about a sporting event and there are rules you play by. Can't you see it now, football teams on the field? And one coach tells the other coach, now, I want you to know that I came with one set of rules. You have a different set of rules. So you play by your set of rules. We'll play on our side of the field by our set of the rules. That game would come quickly to a close, wouldn't it? because there are a set of rules that are absolute that they must follow in playing the game of football, and that's the case for every sport that I know about. You see, there are things that are absolute in life. Our Constitution is an absolute document. Now, there are those who believe in the relativity of truth who say, well, this is the way I see it, and this is the way I interpret the Constitution. Well, you see, the Constitution was written by men who gave us the way they want this country to be governed. And it's an absolute doctrine. It's not a doctrine that is filled with relativity. Well, someone says, can you know what's right? Can you actually know what is true? It's hard to know it today. Whatever happened to truth in our world today? We hear so many people telling things that we know when we hear it. It's not true. We hear things on television. We hear people on newscasts saying things, and we know that it's really not true. So how do we attain truth? Or can you at all? Our Lord said in John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In Psalms 146 in verse 6, the Bible says, the Lord keeps truth forever. And truth, all truth, nothing but the truth, has been revealed to the world by the Holy Spirit. It was revealed to men who were inspired to write the Bible. In John the 16th chapter in verse 13, the Bible reads like this, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into some truth. Is that what it says? Somebody says, well, Brother Lambert, I don't believe that's the way my Bible reads. Mine doesn't either. It says, he shall guide you into all truth, not some of the truth, not partial truth, but all truth. And whatsoever he heareth, that shall he speak. He doesn't say what he thinks. He says what God has given him to say to you, to those inspired men who wrote it down, that we might have it in written form today. All truth has been revealed to the world. And the Spirit revealed it, and God is the source of truth. God is absolutely true. In Psalms 119 and verse 142, the psalmist said, your law is truth. In John 17 and verse 17, sanctify them with thy word. Thy word is truth. In Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, and in verse 4, he is the rock. Now the word rock is capitalized, meaning God. He is the rock. His word is perfect, for all his ways are justice. And here's how God is described, a God of truth, without injustice, righteousness, and upright is he. So we can know the truth. And whatever God says is truth. But what do we mean when we talk about truth? What is it? Well, truth is not necessarily what works. I have several watches that I've collected over the years. I'll get one. I never pay a great deal of money for one because I've learned over the years that if one costs $300, and another one costs $20, the one that costs $20 will keep as good a time as the one that costs $300. But I have some in my collection of watches that still run, but they don't really work that good. If it's running, it may lose some time over a period of a day. The truth is not just what works. It's working, but it's not telling the truth. The truth is not necessarily what is believed. A person can believe something that is not true. They are just convinced it's right. Paul wrote about that in 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter. I'd urge you to read verses 10 through 12 there. And he talks about those that believe a lie and be damned. And God will allow them to believe a lie and be damned. You see, you can believe something that's wrong. You can believe something that is not true. You may believe it with all of your heart. And God will allow you to believe it. He's not going to mess with your free moral agency. He's going to allow you to go ahead and believe it. And you'll lose your soul because you believed what was wrong and you died that way. Truth is not what makes you feel good. I could tell you right now, I feel like $1 million. But I don't know how you feel when you feel like have $1 million, you see. But I may tell you that, but it might make me feel good to think I have it. But that's not true because I don't have $1 million. The truth is not necessarily what the majority of people think. We're told to shun the majority. Why? In Matthew 7 and 13, we learned that the majority on the broad road leading to destruction. We live in a world today, our culture is so turned upside down today, isn't it? And we have those that are in the so-called culture war today, and they believe that what they're doing is the right thing. And a great many of them think that. But because they get with a big, large group of people that believe like they believe doesn't mean that it is right. But truth is not determined by what you intend. Someone has said that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. We may intend to do certain things, but those intentions may lead us to do something that is erroneous. And truth is not what is publicly acknowledged or publicly known. There may be something that is told by some individual, maybe a preacher, maybe a politician, by a newscaster, and we know that that's not true, but it's known by a great number of people that they know what is said. They know a lie is a lie, whether it's known by the majority of people or not. So if it's publicly known, doesn't mean that it's true. And then it's not what is comprehensive. There are a lot of comprehensive sermons. The late Gus Nichols was what I call a comprehensive preacher. He would start preaching, and he might start around 7:30, and he was known in his day to preach to midnight. I'd call that a very comprehensive sermon. And a person may make a speech that's very comprehensive in its nature. Or they may write a very comprehensive document or essay. But just because there's a lot said or a lot written about it doesn't mean what is said or what is written is true. So how do we know what is truth? Well, truth corresponds to what's real. It corresponds to reality. Suppose I told you that my feeling is that it's only 50,000 miles from the earth to the moon. And I really believe that's the truth. I know of people who really believe that the earth is flat and not round. They believe that's true. They believe that they can prove that it is true. But is it true? Is it the reality? Truth corresponds to reality. The truth of the distance from the earth to the moon is not 50,000 miles. Even though I may believe it to be true, the reality is it's over 200,000 miles from the earth to the moon. And truth is that which matches its object. Now suppose you lost your automobile. Let's say someone stole your automobile out of your driveway during the night. So you call the authorities and the police come and they get a police report and they say, we'll begin searching for your automobile. So how are they going to know when they find your car? Well, you give them a description. You tell them the make of the car, the year of the car, the color of the car, how many doors the car has. You give them the tag number on the car. You give them the serial number on the car. And when they find a car that matches that description, they have found the right car because it matches reality. Sometimes people say things that do not match reality. And truth is that which is the opposite of a lie. And some people had rather tell an untruth than to tell the truth. And some people had rather hear a lie than to hear the truth. But let me tell you the destiny of those who are bound to be untruthful. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and all liars shall be cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 21, verse 8. When Pilate asked, "What is truth?" Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Well, from what will truth free us? It will free us from the blinding darkness of sin and ignorance. Ye shall know the truth, and it will make you free. It will free us from the blight of error. I have chosen the way of truth, Psalms 119 and verse 30. The truth will free us from enslaving habits that we have. Paul wrote about the Thessalonians who turned to God from idols to serve a living God. The truth freed them. We need the truth. We need to love the truth. And we need to obey it. I want to urge you to obey the truth. I wouldn't try to teach you something wasn't true if my soul depended on it and my soul's destiny depends upon my telling you the truth. I want to preach the truth. And I want to preach it in love, Ephesians 4, verse 15. It's not enough just to preach. We need to preach with an attitude and a heart of love. I'd encourage you to obey the truth today by believing on Jesus, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and be baptized, because the truth is, he who believes and he who is baptized will be saved. Mark 16 and verse 16. And when you obey that, the Lord will add you to his body, the church, Acts 2 verse 47. I want to thank you for watching today. And let me encourage you to visit the Church of Christ in your community. And right now, pick up the phone. Call for the free Bible correspondence course. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible.